You always have the poor with you, but you don't always have me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. If you've not learned anything in the past 3 years of our news cycles, I think you've not been paying attention. You should have learned that touching in public always is more than touching in public. That when people touch one another, there is always more going on than just somebody touching another human being. That when we encounter one another, there is a way that we are able to communicate all kinds of relational meaning just in the ways that we touch them. And this has been a lesson that we have been learning the hard way for so many years. And so today, when we see a story about Jesus being touched in public, we know that there is more to the story than just Jesus being touched in public. And I bring that up because I want you to, I know often that the sermon starts that there is some kind of cultural distinction between Jesus' day and our own day. You might pick up a commentary that would tell you that this woman, she's the one that's supposed to be watching Jesus' feet because she's a woman, but you might pick up another one that says, no, in that day women were not allowed to touch men. And I want to tell you that this cultural distinctions between the first century in Palestine and the 21st century in the United States of America, there is no difference. I just imagine yourself at your own dinner party. Imagine, so I'm supposed to host a four-year sometime this century, I think. That's my job. I've been looking at my calendar. I'm going to get it on there. But I want to, in the six of you that are coming, I promise this won't happen, but I want you all to imagine if you're in that four-year, you come to my house, and at the while we're sitting at dinner, somebody, if it's my wife, and she comes out and does this, the conversation in the car all the way home is, that was weird, wasn't it? That was really weird. And that news would spread faster than any prayer concern ever did. But if it was not my wife, you'd be calling the bishop. You would be on the phone, your Bluetooth phone in your new car that you don't realize why the radio is ringing at you every time you get in the car now. You want a new car, you're like, why is the car racked? I can answer this. You'd be calling the bishop on that thing. You'd figure out how to use that device just for that evening. And I know that this is an important moment. I know it is transformative for these folks because of the stories in the gospel that appear in all four of them. There are four stories in the gospel that appear in all four. Jesus feeding the 5,000, Jesus being crucified on a cross, Jesus rising from the dead, and this one. All four gospels do not share any other material. This is important. In fact, it's so important that Matthew puts a prologue at the end of the story saying, like, that women, people around the world will talk about this woman for as long as people can talk. Touching is always more than touching. And the way you would be uncomfortable at my house if something like that was happening is the way all of those disciples are comfortable. In fact, it is a curious thing in John's gospel that he says that Judas is the source of this criticism, but the two of the other gospels make it clear that all the disciples are grumbling about this. That there is that discomfort that you would have, they are having. And they want to make some objection to it. And in three of the Gospels, it's the same as here. And in one of them, the objection just is, he should not be letting them touch her, because we don't do that. And that might be the most honest one. But the objection here comes through this objection that we often make, which is, there is some moral high ground that is being avoided at this moment by this action. There are poor people in the world, Jesus. How can you let such an expensive thing be wasted on yourself? There is something more moral you could take on if you weren't so busy being a narcissist. And then Jesus, in what has become one of the most difficult things to interpret in all of the Gospels, tells them, the poor you will always have with you. And we notice because people take it so many different ways. Some people take it as though there are times when I'm just not supposed to do anything else because I can't help it. They're just poor, and there's nothing I can do about that. There are people that take it that Jesus is just being glib. There are people that take it that Jesus is saying you need to pay attention to the poor more carefully because they're always around. But I think Jesus is not actually saying anything about poor people here. He is saying something about our own tendency when we are faced with something we're uncomfortable with, when we're afraid to be truthful about our actual objections, to make the excuse that there is something more moral that we should be doing than what's happening right here. That there is always some reason for us to be busy than to be with Jesus. There is always some reason not to be extravagant with Jesus because there is work to be done. I think Jesus has nothing in his mind about poor folks here. Jesus is saying, if you're always going to look for some job to do instead of when I'm sitting here at dinner with you, actually be here with me. If you're always going to be looking for some chore to take on, because the alternate would mean sitting down and being quiet and actually being with me in some way, you're going to miss out. You are going to miss the point of what it is like to be in the presence of Jesus. If you're always going to make yourself so busy, you are never going to take the time to enjoy what I have given to you in myself. The reason I think that Jesus is saying this, and those of you that have heard me talk about the creation for the last 3 weeks, know that I could talk about it here again because this is a core tenet of our faith. There is a core tenet of our faith that we work really hard. The work day in the creation story stays long. But it only gets to be 6 days long if you take one day to enjoy the creation. Jesus, our Lord, who commends us to take care of the poor, the widows and the orphans, to visit those in prison, to give water to those people who are thirsty, is also saying that if you do that all of the time, you will miss the point. The point is you do that sometimes, but sometimes you're extravagant. Sometimes you come and spend time with me that seems wasted. Sometimes you have to stop what you're doing and be with me if you want to know me. You don't know me through your work. You know me through your presence. And we have all kinds of spiritual practices that, you know, that fire this up. The reason you tithe is not to pay the electricity bills at work. The reason you tithe is to say, like, I have a portion of my stuff that I know I could do some good with. I think I could. But the hole is so big, like, you can never pay all the bills. You can never feed all the poor. You can never do all that with what you've got. But what you could do is say, here, take a portion of it. Here, this is part of who I am, and I am going to give it to you to enjoy the presence that you have brought into my life. You take time off to come to worship. If you came here to do work this morning, I want you to go home. Because there is no job to do in here. Your job is to come here, bring perfume on Jesus' feet, and to wipe Jesus' feet with your hair, to enjoy being in the presence of Jesus. There is no dishes. There are no lawn to cut, even if it were July. There is no garbage to empty. You come here because you need to spend some time doing something that the world will look at you and say, that is a waste. There is something more moral you could be doing. Don't you think you could be at a soup kitchen this morning? In fact, don't people make that excuse? People come up to me all the time and say, you know what? I can't make it to church because I'm doing so much. Sunday morning, that's the morning I go to the soup kitchen. And I know I'm doing God's work there. And Jesus would say to you, the poor you always have with you. There's some time that you need to carve out to be with me. And the reason that this is a principle, that we must take time to stop and not be distracted and not to avoid and not to act as though we have better things to do than to be with other people or just to be with Jesus, is because we all need to do this for one another. We learn to spend time with Jesus in extravagant and wasteful ways so that we can learn to do it with one another. Because Jesus doesn't tell them this, you need to do this now because this is the right moment. He said, you need to do this now because there will come a moment when you can do this no longer. And the ways that we avoid being with each other are often much more insidious than the ways that we avoid being with Jesus. Through our busyness and through our work. By saying we cannot spend that or we cannot take that time to be with that person and know them. Jesus invites us in this story not to contemplate the mountainous chore it is to take care of the poor of this planet, which it is huge, and get discouraged by it. He is telling us that there is a time to do that. And once you have spent some time doing that, there's also a time to be here and to pour out expensive perfume on my feet and wash them and dry them and to be with one another. And I think he's telling us, if we can learn to do that, the poor will thank us because we'll learn to truly be with them as well. Amen.